excited about this segment because we just started this tonight. A few months ago, I met Sergeant Paraka, who had invited me and some educators, actually, through the recruiting office in Chicago to attend a workshop in San Diego. So when we spoke to him in our first interview, we learned that he had never seen A Few Good Men. And after we pulled that thread, it turned out he hadn't seen very many military movies at all. So we started a segment called Semper Film. And we have with us for our first evening that Staff Sergeant House.
Hello.
We have Sergeant Hurd.
Howdy.
And we have Sergeant Paraka, the reason we're here. Hi. And we chose for our, by the way, so I had a whole bunch of movies in my queue on Amazon Prime, and I left it up to Sergeant Hurd as to which movie, because he was the first one that got here, just so you know.
Fair enough.
That's how that works now. You get to pick in the lobby. Sergeant Hurd, you had never seen the movie, and have you seen very many military movies?
A lot.
A lot of military movies.
Absolutely.
And how many military comedies have you seen?
You know what? Stripes is definitely by far, number one.
The first comedy. They don't really make that many comedies. Now, Sergeant Paraka, you out of the three of the gentlemen that were on the couch, that sounds weird. It's a big couch, by the way. It's a big wraparound. It's a huge sectional.
It is. We're comfy, though.
Everyone that was watching the movie, I would say that you seem the most intense. Was it hard for you to watch it without thinking, that's not real? That's not real.
Well, I've never seen a military comedy, so it was a little different
Major
for
Payne.
Me. That's more the kids, though. It's not real military.
It's not right. And that's what I said. Like about when it was almost over, I realized this is so much more of a cartoon. And you've seen this, Steph.
I have. Yes.
And had you seen it before you joined the military?
I want to say it was shortly before I joined the military that I saw it for the first time.
Right.
I've seen it a few times over the years.
So you saw it without having gone through the experience, whereas Sergeant Hurd and Sergeant Paraka have been through all the training, have served for several years. So maybe there is like it's hard to have that suspension of disbelief. Plus, what kind of movie that it was hard for you to get into?
It was old school.
It's gonna be. You know what? Just because of that, I'm gonna put more movies on the list that are gonna go even farther back.
Okay,
all
sounds
right,
like a plan.
We gotta get some Clint Eastwood in there.
Clint Eastwood, some John Wayne,
some Audrey Murphy.
Audrey Murphy. Yeah.
Heartbreak Ridge.
Yeah. Well, that one you said you've seen.
Yes.
And Full Metal
Jacket.
Yeah,
I just don't remember.
You don't remember?
Okay. No. We'll find something.
Well, now, okay, so let's go with it from the beginning, because there were certain things that you guys were kind of like rolling your eyes at. Well, first, obviously, if people out there haven't seen Stripes, we don't want to ruin anything for you, but it was made in 1981, so I think we can go ahead and spoil some of this.
Spoiler windows open.
Let's do it.
But Bill Murray, who is the quintessential misanthrope, the kind of guy that, that rules don't apply to, and he's just kind of, bumbling through life, and his best friend Harold Ramis, decide one day to join the military. I think the recruiting office was my favorite part to look around at you guys. And to be fair, this is the Army. Is it plausible that the Army may be recruited this way?
I wouldn't say so.
I wasn't around, couldn't tell you.
No. So their requirements aren't nearly as lax as perhaps the movie was portraying. Just a couple questions.
Probably not quite that bad.
Do you guys ask if people have, if you're, recruits, if a candidate has committed crimes? Do you guys ask them? Because you're all recruiters, yes?
Absolutely.
Absolutely.
You ask them that?
Yes, every time.
And how often do you see them pause and think about what counts as a felony?
It's occasional, but it's pretty rare.
Okay. Sergeant Hurd.
Well, I'm on the south side of Chicago, so it's pretty common, it's definitely the easiest way to weed them out.
Right.
So what's your rap sheet look like,
Right. Well, and are there background checks?
Yes, every time.
Mm-hmm. Well, I would imagine. You guys have to be pretty.
Full fingerprint, full national and local
And
checks.
How often do you get the guys that don't make the cut? Do you get any?
No, by that point, we've talked about their whole history. We've got them.
Plus, we've got them. Yeah, plus once you start asking for fingerprints, someone goes, you know what? Never mind. I'm just going to be over here somewhere. And then the next question, which I don't think anybody asks anymore, the recruiter asks if they're gay.
No, that question doesn't apply anymore.
It is open policy now, pretty much, so whatever floats your boat.
Is that on the document?
I believe it's the no discrimination of any kind.
There you go. Equal opportunity.
Also known as whatever floats your boat.
Yes.
I like that.
Nice way to put it.
So you guys, when we were watching that scene, as recruiters, it was kind of, hi, everybody.
Right? Nice little crowd.
We have a crowd outside that I wish I could talk to them, but it's just one of those things. Plus, they're kids. I don't know what kind of language you Marines use. You taught me a lot of new words when we were in San Diego. I think you saw my joke that I used to swear like a sailor, but now I swear like a Marine.
Definitely saw
I
that.
I saw that.
I was impressed.
Yep, I liked it.
That's classic.
It turns out they do that better too. Oh, yeah. And that's the thing too. There was more swearing than I remember in this movie because I saw this when I was a kid. I used to walk around gym class going, "There she was, just a walking down the street." Yeah. I heard Sergeant Hurd start to sing that one.
Oh, it was classic. That's old school.
Now, that's one scene where you started laughing, too, where they started kind of doing their own thing. That's not what happens when you arrive at Marine Corps boot camp, is it?
No,
absolutely not. Not a lot of freedom of movement. And, you know, I got a kick out of the part when he was like, he said he couldn't do it. Why don't you do it? You know, saying
yes.
that to the drill instructor.
He tells Hulka to get up the rope.
Yes. Oh, no, wow. You definitely don't talk to them that way.
No.
You don't speak unless spoken to.
Right.
Yes. There you go.
Yeah, there was none of that. Although, I do have to say, when they were kind of sitting around giving their stories, it did remind me a little bit of the hip pocket discussions that we were talking about.
Yeah, the guided discussions.
Mm. Guided discussions, but that wouldn't be like the first night of holding their hands, right?
No.
No.
No. Definitely no smiling going on.
No smiling. No. And, well, that's the thing, too. Obviously, Bill Murray is somebody who doesn't do well with authority. Is there ever – do you ever have somebody that, you know, you can tell is going to be a smart aleck?
Oh, yeah.
Oh, yeah.
You get the occasional one that'll – like, it's their personal nature to want to have that smart aleck comment, like that they got to get their edge in.
Right.
But you explain to them the training and the mindset – let them know the game. They figure it out pretty quick,
right?
And they don't do it to the drill instructors. They'll take it out on the other recruits.
Yes.
Oh, really? So they'll do smart, like they'll say smart ass things to somebody next to them.
Yes.
All right, Sergeant Hurd. I get the feeling you might have been a bit of a smart aleck.
Well, my experience in recruit training, I'm definitely into the comedy, and Baron was one of the things that I got, you know, later down the line, because I couldn't help but laugh at everything. You know, you get a lot of guys, you know, they're really emotional, they cry, but I just wanted to laugh. I'll just laugh at the guy next to me crying, you know, when the drill instructor is yelling in his face, but
it's just a reflex.
It is. It's comical.
Well, and Bill Murray clearly is the protagonist. And he's the, you know, he's the you know, our hero of the movie. He's got to be the one who's got to have something to say about everything. But the scene where he goes in the bathroom into Hulka's office he tells him to take a swing at him. One of the things that I learned with drill instructor Lemke was, Staff Sergeant Lemke, was that, you know, that there are drill instructors who go a little too far. But there was a woman at our table, one of the educators, who said that she had been told by a drill instructor that sort of this hazing that a drill instructor had used, making the recruits remain on their knees for like 2 hours. And drill instructor Lemke said, "Now what you've just done is an allegation. You've told me something about another drill instructor that goes against what we do." Mm-hmm. And I thought that was kind of an interesting moment, because are there sometimes, you think, like personal vendettas because some of these personalities don't blend and a drill instructor goes after somebody specifically?
I would say that there are occasions where drill instructors will take it too far, but there are consequences for that. That's definitely not what we teach drill instructors to do to recruits. We teach them to train them with discipline and you know, moral ethics and all of that.
Well, because that's always a theme in any of these movies with a drill instructor, whether it's Full Metal Jacket or something like Stripes. That's always kind of the conflict is going to be with the drill instructor. Sergeant Hurd, are you thinking back to your drill instructor, or just the comedic image of drill instructors and the way they're portrayed?
My platoon back in boot camp, yes.
Yeah, you're thinking about that guy.
Yeah, you know, you always have the comedian, the crybaby, the snitch, it, you know, so forth and so on, you know, just like in school.
Right, right. Somebody, there's always going to be some sort of conflict, isn't there?
Every time you're putting 70 people that from all over the country, all walks of life, into one group that are eating, breathing, living together 24/7, you're going to have a little friction.
Well, that's one of the things that drill instructor Hulky says, is that a drill sergeant, because in the Army they have drill sergeants. I was told that immediately by drill instructor Staff Sergeant Lemke, that this isn't the Army, we don't have drill sergeants. But you guys, there was a moment where Hulky says, "I'm going to teach you how to eat. I'm going to teach you how to chew, how to sleep, how to do other things that I can't use the word for." Does that one count going to the crapper?
Absolutely.
They teach you how to use the crapper?
Oh,
Yeah, well,
they tell you how fast.
They give you a timeline. Trainer,
what?
Timeline.
I was just kidding about asking that. You have a countdown?
Countdown.
Does that...
9, 8, 7, 6, 5, 1, 8, 2, 1. You are...
Dunser.
What?
Oh, yes.
No. Yeah. So what if you're not Dunser?
No, you need to make yourself done.
What? Does that help facilitate the activity at all?
You end up just holding it until it's time to go to sleep.
Mm-hmm. There you go.
So what do you do when you go to sleep?
You get up and go.
Okay, so can you get out of your
bed? So you can you can get out of your rack throughout the night and use the head, as they call it, the restroom.
Right.
You just have to do 20 pull-ups before you go into the head. Mm-hmm. So
you have to do 20 pull-ups every time you go into the bathroom if you're going to get out of your rack?
Yes.
Yes.
And there's a fire watcher at night, you know, an evening guard that roams around and keep count of everything. He's also entertaining in his logbook everybody that leaves out of their rack, you know, going whether it's going to the head or they just get up sleepwalking. But it's all annotated.
Did you have anyone that sleptwalk in your?
I did.
You did?
I did.
I did not, no.
No? You had a sleepwalker? What did your sleepwalker do? Can you imagine you're at boot camp and now you're a sleepwalker?
That's wet the bed.
Oh.
You know, that's a whole... We're not going to get into
that. You don't... why not? Well, I'm a sleepwalker, so...
I've been in for a while. I'm pretty sure he's out of the Marine Corps by now. Maybe.
What? Was not a good fit for him to be in the Marine Corps. Is it just the sleepwalking or... A lot of other things.
A lot of other things.
All right, then. The sleepwalking was just a symptom.
Let's just say he's one of the reasons why our platoon suffered.
How did your platoon suffer?
Oh, you know, the extra curriculum activities in the sand pit.
No, no.
The
so
fun stuff.
So the idea that that the entire platoon would be punished because of one recruit is pretty applicable?
You could say
yeah.
so.
Yeah. You guys don't want
to... It's an accountability thing. They get us to hold our own accountable.
Right.
Exactly.
So
correcting your peers.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, but what if you can't correct your peer? What if they're uncorrectable?
That's when the drill instructors and everybody step in.
Okay. Yeah,
because
I mean,
you got to think everything has a training purpose. We're training Marines to go to combat and fight America's battles.
Mm-hmm.
If we can't count on the person to the left and to the right of us to keep us in check, then we're not going to make it. We need to be able to keep each other accountable because there's not going to be somebody telling us what to do and what not to do.
All right, fair enough. Mm-hmm. Don't be sleepwalking and other things that exactly. Sergeant Hurt won't tell us about. So one of the other things was that you guys noticed right away, the only element up until when we paused the movie for a break, Sergeant Paracca said the only activity that was accurate so far was...
The police call.
What's the police call?
The police call is where you walk around in a straight line and you pick up trash.
Mm-hmm.
You police the area to make sure that it looks up to standard.
Maybe you just pick up the earth.
Really?
If it doesn't grow, it goes.
Yes.
If it doesn't grow, it goes.
Mm-hmm.
But
anything
you have to keep looking busy the whole time.
Yes.
So you just go, bro. And how long does that last for?
It depends.
And what is it? So is it a punishment for something?
I've done 5-minute police calls. I've done 2-hour police calls.
I mean, we actually have a thing, though. You know, you always return something much more greater than you received it. So police calls is... Yeah, it's a real common thing for us, especially you know, once you get into those taking over ranges and you got live fire, you want to pick up all the ammunition.
Sure.
Just pick up everything.
Pick up everything.
We don't want anybody to know that we were ever there.
Fair enough. Leave it the way you found it.
Yes. Or better.
All right, then. Mm-hmm. I see. So that was the only thing. Was that still, now that we've seen the whole movie, I'm going to go ahead and guess that was still the only thing that was accurate?
No, they woke up at 05.
Oh, yeah, they're waking up early. That
zero
was
five.
Definitely accurate.
And how about the haircuts?
No.
Well, at first it was.
Okay. The first couple was definitely accurate. Shaving the hair completely off.
It's the image of it, though. You know, you go in the boot camp, and the first thing they do, you know, they put you in uniform, they shave your head. But obviously, you know, that's Hollywood. They didn't get a zero fade, you know?
Right. zero fade?
Yeah.
Yeah, you could tell that Bill Murray and Harold Ramis were like, not so much.
Well, what about Judge Reinhold? Anybody took anything off the top?
And I think in the back in the day too that haircuts weren't as low as they are today. I think that the grooming standards for the hair were a little more relaxed.
Okay.
Back then than they are now.
Especially because it was still just coming out of the '70s.
Mm-hmm. Yes, I mean if you look back at photos, you know the standard Marine photo that everybody gets out of boot camp, you'll see people with longer hair
right.
than you see now.
Yeah, well, that's the thing too. That when I was at the Marine Corps recruit depot in San Diego, the women who saw some of that the part where the men were getting their hair cut and these beautiful locks, you could hear women going, "Oh, it grows back, everybody."
It does.
Now, once you've had your hair cut after boot camp, how you're allowed to have yours a little bit longer? Or?
A little bit longer. There are regulations for it.
Right.
So it has to be a gradual fade from 0 to no more than 3 inches.
So where you have it above your ears and then back. So it goes all the way up to there. All right. That's There you go. So it's by preference. And you decided to just shave it all off.
It's easier.
It's easier. Right. You don't have to keep a measure. How often do you have to cut your hair?
I get my hair cut every week.
Every week?
Mm-hmm.
Sergeant Hurd?
Same.
Well, see, they spend $10 to $20 on a haircut every single week, 52 weeks a year. I buy one pack of razors, $52 for a whole year.
And now are you making sure that you put sunscreen on that too?
Yeah.
All right, then.
Yeah. I don't really burn. But.
Worth it.
Worth it to get $20?
Yes.
Can I give you like $40 and just let it go for a couple weeks?
No.
Right. I'm just saying I'll chip in to see what you look like with hair.
My wife hasn't even seen me with hair.
Let's do it. Let's make that.
Speaking of which, can I say how delightful it was to hear one of you say it? If you don't want to volunteer, that's fine, because I'm not gonna pick anybody out since you are Marines and I don't want to. But there was a little more nudity than I think maybe we were all expecting. And someone said, "Hey, I think I'm going to see some bush," because there's not any. And I'm not saying who. There were a bunch of us in the movie room, but it was a different time. You know, women were not expected to rip out all the turf.
Yes,
right.
That's true.
It was more maintaining than it was,
They definitely kept a period correct.
I think that's a good way to end this part of the segment. We're going to return with Staff Sergeant House, Sergeant Hurd, and Sergeant Paraka. We are recording this because we watched the movie a little bit earlier. These guys got to get up early in the morning. This is Semper Film on Pretty Late with Patty Vasquez, 720 WGN. Listening pretty late, and I'm so excited to have three Marines in our Allstate Showcase studio. We've watched Stripes tonight for our first segment of Semper Film. Joining me is Staff Sergeant House.
Hello.
We also have Sergeant Hurd.
Howdy.
And Sergeant Paraka.
Good evening.
Who has set us on this journey. And I think next month your choices are going to be a little more serious. But Stripes was just a fun way to start. Thank you for picking that one.
Icebreaker.
I love the break.
It was an icebreaker. And we had some pizza from Peace Pizza, which was fantastic.
Delicious.
As well.
Wicked part.
Yeah, don't tell my wife I'm on a diet.
All right. Yeah. No, I'm sure that no one will tell her. Everyone tell.
She's listening.
Everyone tell.
Yes.
I also had some. We had some. I believe you grabbed some of the Reese's Pieces. No, you did not.
No, I didn't see that.
So we have popcorn. We'll make sure you guys have snacks. We'll always have those stocked. But we saw Stripes. Bill Murray, Harold Ramis, John Candy was kind of. I think that some of you guys were surprised that John Candy.
Oh yeah.
John Larroquette.
The heavy set. Yeah, we have definitely a tight height and weight standards for the core.
So I mean, you're saying John Candy would not have made the standards?
Would have been a little outside.
Yeah.
A little bit?
Yeah, just a little bit.
Is it possible the Army has less stringent requirements?
Well,
as we
said before, that was late 70s, early 80s. Mm-hmm. So
Maybe they were a little more desperate for recruits.
I couldn't tell you.
Nah, it
wasn't. 92.
Wasn't around, so.
You don't want to address it. Well, before Bill Murray goes off to the boot camp, he tries to do 5 push-ups and has a little bit of a tough time.
That was interesting to see.
Was it
5 push-ups? Couldn't do them. Oh.
But yeah, but by the time he's being punished by drill instructor, drill
what
was drill
he
sergeant
50 something?
Yeah, he was, and in the rain, in the mud, no less. And
that
he looked good. Do he look sharp
was,
doing
yeah, that was
it?
Yeah, that's however accurate. You know, just like I'll pull up a whole thing. You know, you get on the bar, you start off with maybe 3. By the time you leave, you're at 20 or more. You know,
yeah. How about that rope? We were talking about Drill Sergeant Helka having to climb up that rope.
Yes.
That's still kind of a struggle for people. Cause I know I talked to a recruit when we were in San Diego, and there was a kid who told me he was feeling strong about everything except for the rope. He couldn't get up that rope.
There's techniques to it, and some people it takes longer to grasp. Mm-hmm. So, you know, I would say the rope is very easy once you learn the techniques and the methods to do it.
It really is all about the technique. I'm a martial arts instructor, and one of the things I do with my students is I'll tie their belt to the top of the rope. So if they once we finish our course,
their uniform belt? You mean their fatigues?
There's what we call the McMap belt. Mm-hmm. There's 5 different colors that they wear with their camouflage utilities, and once they advance their martial arts level, they get a new belt. At the end of my course, once they earn the belt, they have to get up the rope to go get it. Mm-hmm.
And if they can't get up the rope, they don't get their belt.
Nope, they try again the next class.
And have you had anybody have to wait till the next class?
I had one young lady that did not make it up the rope, but she came back a week later and made it up.
Okay. She set her sights on that.
Yes.
All right, then fine. And y'all were saying that when, I don't know why I just went all solid. Y'all, I don't know what just happened there. You guys were saying that falling off that rope is when you slide and it comes through your hands. Is it better to just let go of it then?
Just don't fall. Yeah. Just don't fall.
Depends how high you are.
Yeah. So you don't want to. Yeah, break both femurs. Oh no!
No, so it's but sliding down that rope can't be good.
Oh, yes. It definitely hurts.
No,
but
that's not a fun time.
You're supposed to go hand over hand on your way down. Right, that's how we train. It's hand over hand.
I mean, now, like he mentioned, being McMap instructors, the martial art instructors,
mm-hmm.
We do sometimes repeatedly have to go up and down the rope, and I have seen some guys, you know, go to they just have complete, you know, muscle failure, and they just actually slide all the way down, and they just burn their hands. And that's what we were saying, you know, like
the rope burn.
Definitely, you know, you want to use a technique, but sometimes you just get caught up.
Yeah. Well, and I was noticing too in that scene before Hulka climbs up it, Bill Murray's behind the guy that falls off of it too, which you wouldn't have two people on the rope at the same time.
No.
That seems a little reckless.
Yes.
I don't know what these filmmakers were thinking in Stripes. Did you guys notice a little bit of continuity problems? You did actually with the when Hulka tells them that they're going to go for a 10-mile.
Yes.
Right? And then the next day he says what?
5. And then increases it to 10.
Yeah, there were a couple continuity things that I noticed. A
couple little things.
Just a little couple shots. Yeah, it's all right. Although I did laugh when John Larroquette, he plays the Captain Stillman. He's playing with his tanks and his little army men. Yeah, the two of you were laughing. Sergeant Hurd, you said that was why you joined the Marines.
Oh, yeah. I have plenty of G.I. Joes and action figures. All army toys or tanks, you know. That was me.
Yeah.
It's great.
You did. You were very nostalgic about John Larroquette and his toys.
Well, absolutely. Even the sound effects. Yeah, it was great.
And that was another character that I think that was. Were there at least elements? I feel very nervous talking to military men about these military movies. I'll relax. Was there an element of John Larroquette's character? He's the Captain Stillman. Yeah, I thought so. Because there were things that I could tell Sergeant Hurd were like, yeah, that seems like so-and-so.
When they got brought back.
Yeah.
That was pretty accurate. Right before they graduated, mm-hmm. when they got brought back at the late at night and he came out and was discussing that with them.
Yeah.
That was actually a pretty accurate portrayal.
Oh, interesting.
You know, more along the lines of a brand new lieutenant right out of school versus the guys that's been green for a while. It's just so funny.
Kind of over his skis, off balance. A little bit. Sergeant Prockett doesn't want to talk about any officers.
No, I wouldn't imagine an officer acting like that. Most of them are lead by example. That gentleman was very much do as I say, not as I do type.
Mm-hmm. Yes.
He was telling the sergeant first class, I guess in the Army they call them all sergeants. He was telling the sergeant, hey, no, we're doing this mission my way,
right.
My way only. If I want your input, I would have asked for it.
Right.
An officer wouldn't say that because the enlisted are there to serve the officers because they have a lot more experience and they're the senior advisors to the officers.
See what I mean by taking it so much more seriously than you guys were?
He really
was breaking that down.
Absolutely.
Yeah. Well,
good analytical mind, though.
Here's why that would not happen. I was thinking during the movie, you know, it was made in 1981, and there's actually a small reference to the draft, right? One of the soldiers says
it was brought up.
Right, yeah. He said that he joined before he was drafted, and everyone kind of laughs at him because there was no draft anymore. But we weren't that far removed from the draft during Vietnam.
Not in 81, no.
No, in 81, well, about 10 years.
Yeah, about
a
decade.
So it would have been in their recent memory.
Mm-hmm.
Somewhere in there, maybe even 6 years, because we were in Vietnam into the 70s.
I do not remember the exact year the draft ended.
About
70s.
Yeah, in the 70s.
But even after, he was like, I didn't want to get drafted. And he was like, son, we don't do the draft anymore.
Right.
He turned around and asked whether, was there even a draft?
There was a draft?
He was just kind of making sure.
Oh, my God.
But I wondered, you know, there aren't that many movies or even television series anymore that are made as comedies of the military. And I can't think of any. I know Pauly Shore did, like, one, maybe. But I couldn't really think of anything that's been done recently. And I wonder if that's a result, an effect of being in war constantly now for the last 15 years. Because, you know, we had MASH was a big hit in 1970.
MASH was great.
And then 11 years later, you have a movie like Stripe. And in the meantime, there was Private Benjamin. There were sort of a bunch of military movies that were a little more lighthearted.
Yeah, that's really the only ones I could think of. You know, Private Benjamin, and the Army Now, Stripes, mm-hmm. Major Payne.
Right. Oh, yeah, Major Payne, and that was in the 90s as well. And I just wonder if there's a – because it's kind of a more serious time now that it's harder or there isn't a desire to make a military comedy.
I love comedy. Mm-hmm. I love it. You know, I don't think if a guy like myself, you know, has been through a few things, whatever, you know, if I could take comedy, I think that our people, our American people, you know, they should be able to – relax, let their hair down to certain things, you know, to an extent.
Right. But maybe they think, you know, maybe filmmakers are afraid because they don't want to be disrespectful to the men and women who are serving and are being injured or casualties of war.
Absolutely.
So maybe that's the reluctance.
One of the things I see also is that they'll interject a little bit of comedy in those serious movies.
Yes.
It just won't be a comedy-based movie, but you'll see lots of funny parts and, mm-hmm. and stuff that makes you laugh.
Right. And this was clearly a cartoonish movie.
Very much so.
What were you going to say?
I was going to say... When it comes to the military portrayals, I think you're on the right track. They're trying to handle with a bit of a deference towards the service members because most of those comedies that happen to do with like something along those lines, they all end up being spy movies.
Yes, they all kind of stumble into some sort mm-hmm. of mission.
Exactly.
Right. Whereas right now, I mean, globally, we are on a lot of different fronts.
Yes.
And we can't really poke fun at that.
Not at this point, not without hurting somebody's feelings.
Right. We don't want to, that's the other thing. You don't want to make anybody angry. Sergeant Hurd, you mentioned something. And we kind of consider this as well as far as what you've seen and what you've gone through. How is it when you see movies that are more realistic? Is that something that you are kind of like, you know what, I've seen that. I don't need to watch it in a movie? Or are you just kind of there for the storytelling?
I'm not big at much of a storyteller. Mm-hmm. You know, I could... definitely relate to a lot of movies that's been out recently. I just sit back and nod my head, you know.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, it
right.
was like that. This happened, but I don't get overly dramatic or emotional over
right.
things, you know. If I need to talk to somebody, I just talk to one of my peers, you know, or somebody that was there through the struggle with me.
Right. So, but do you avoid movies that are maybe more realistic?
Not so much. No.
Okay. That I wanted to make sure we didn't pick anything that was, you know, going to be something like, I don't need to see that. I don't know. He's going through.
No.
Somebody has recommended like Apocalypse Now or some of the movies.
Oh, yes, absolutely. Those are always classics because it's less about the actual combat, more about the situation at hand.
Exactly, and the personalities.
Mm, definitely.
Sergeant Parker, you said you saw Whiskey Tango Foxtrot.
Yes.
How was that one?
It was interesting. It was about a reporter that was a media embed in Afghanistan,
mm-hmm.
and she was supposed to be there for 3 months, but ended up being there for about 3 years.
Okay.
She got addicted to the lifestyle over there, and she began to think that, you know, that was her life, and then once she realized that, she ended up going back to the States. I don't want to spoil it.
But you enjoyed it?
Yeah.
Oh, cool.
Yeah,
we
enjoyed it.
We got like a 2-for review. Now we have a review of Whiskey Tango Foxtrot, which is with Tina Fey.
Yeah, I will say that some of the stuff in that movie was not accurate in the beginning.
I just want to pat him on the head.
They were doing personality reports with the reporter, and they were introducing themselves, where they're from, and one of the gentlemen said, "Hey, I'm Lance Corporal so and so," but he had a corporal rank chevron on his collar.
Oh, they were not paying attention to the details.
And that happened quite a few times.
Gotcha. Well, that's something we'll comment. Yeah, we'll make sure we'll go through and observe the uniforms as well.
Yes,
as
absolutely.
We go forward. So can I count on you guys to come back next month and watch another movie with me?
As absolutely. Long as you invite us.
Of course I'm inviting you. This is a done deal. We've got
sounds down for it.
Pizza from Peace Pizza. Thank you so much again. And we watched with Craig and with Betty, and it was a fun evening. Maybe we'll invite some listeners once in a while. We should do that too.
Mm-hmm. That could be fun.
A little pizza party.
What about that guy from the last segment after the educators worksite? Rick, are you out there? You're listening?
There we go. Bring some of the educators back. We can do that. Yeah. Well, thank you so much again to Sergeant Paraka, Sergeant Hurd, and Staff Sergeant House.
Thank you.
I don't want to demote you on accident.
Appreciate
the air.
It.
And we'll be back with them next month. And how can people get more information about the recruiter's office?
Well, they can just Google U.S. Marines and then their neighborhood, or they can visit marines.com.
And we'll have you guys back on for other things besides movies, too.
Sounds like a plan.
All right. Wonderful, you guys. Have a wonderful evening. And,
beautiful.
Thank you for hanging out with me.
Thanks for having us, Patty.
Of course.
More after this on Pretty Late with Patty Vasquez, 720 WGN.